Welcome to The Fabricator's Edge, cutting through complexity in manufacturing and metalwork. Real talk, smart solutions, and no-nonsense insight from the shop floor to the supply chain.
Okay, let's unpack this. We're diving deep into the world of UK sheet metal fabrication today. We've got a bunch of sources, articles, research, even some detail on a specific company.
Right. And the aim isn't just to list facts. We really want to get under the skin of what's reshaping this, well, essential sector, understand the drivers of change.
And, crucially, figure out what it all means for you if you're out there sourcing metalwork.
Exactly. Because the landscape is changing.
We've got material covering the whole industry picture. Then we'll zoom into automation, what's happening, the impact.
And how that plays out differently for key sectors like food processing, pharma, retail, those kinds of areas.
Plus some strategic pointers for sourcing. And yeah, we have this interesting snapshot of a UK firm, Dutton Engineering in Bedfordshire.
35 years in the game, tackling complex stuff, focusing on quality, speed.
Operating around the clock, they mentioned. Working on everything from food lines to big infrastructure, London Underground, Heathrow T5.
Yeah, and they talk about lean processes, aiming for zero defects. It sounds like a really good sort of real-world anchor for the trends we're seeing.
Definitely brings it down to earth.
Okay.
Right, let's dive in.
Okay.
So first, let's just set the scene. UK manufacturing, it's a pretty big deal.
Oh, huge. We're talking $224 billion in gross value added. Employs about 2.6 million people. It's significant.
And sheet metal fabrication is a core part of that engine.
Absolutely foundational. I mean, think about it. Components made this way are, well, they're everywhere. Construction, cars, planes, electronics.
And those specialized fields you mentioned earlier, food, pharma, retail.
Increasingly important, yes. Supplying those critical sectors, too.
But the sources suggest it's not exactly smooth sailing for these companies at the moment. What are the main headaches?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenging environment. You've got a few big things converging. Post-Brexit trade friction is still adding complexity and cost. That hasn't gone away.
Still causing issues.
Then there's supply chain volatility. Global events, the pandemic, geopolitical stuff really exposed how fragile some chains were.
We all felt that, didn't we? The delays, the shortages.
We did. And on top of that, costs are just climbing. Energy has been all over the place. Raw materials like steel and aluminium fluctuate. Wages are going up.
And then there's the skills issue. I keep hearing about that across manufacturing.
It's a major one. A really significant, persistent skill shortage. UK talks about tens of thousands of unfilled jobs.
Wow. That must really hold businesses back.
It absolutely does. Limits their capacity, limits growth. So you put all that together, the costs, the supply chain risks, the lack of skilled people.
And automation starts to look less like a luxury and more like
a strategic necessity.
Exactly.
It's becoming crucial for survival, for competitiveness, for simply getting the work done reliably.
Okay, that really frames the why. So let's get into the what. What does this automation actually look like on the factory floor in UK sheet metal fabrication? What's the tech?
It really spans the whole process from start to finish. You start with cutting, right? So computer numerical control CNC cutting is standard.
Lasers, presumably.
Increasingly fiber lasers. They're faster, much more energy efficient than the older CO2 lasers. And you often see them paired with automated loading and unloading systems.
Ah, so the machine can just keep running, feeding itself new sheets.
Pretty much.
Huh.
For continuous operation, sometimes even lights out manufacturing, running unmanned overnight or weekends.
Okay. After cutting, bending.
Yep. Automated bending using CNC press brakes is common. You also see sophisticated panel benders for certain types of parts, and often robotic cells for bending complex shapes or high volumes.
And welding. That always seems like a skilled manual job.
Traditionally, yes, but it's a huge area for automation now.
Yeah.
Robotic welding gives you incredible consistency, speed, really high quality welds time after time.
Less variation.
Much less variation. And you're even seeing collaborative robots, cobots, working safely alongside people on some welding or assembly tasks.
Well, what about just moving stuff around? Sheets? Parts?
Crucial. Automated material handling, robotic arms feeding machines, taking parts away, integrated storage systems like towers, holding raw materials or work in progress. That's essential glue to make the whole extended automated run possible.
So it's the physical robots, the machines.
Yeah.
But there must be a digital side too. Oh,
absolutely fundamental. The software integration is the brain, really. You've got CAD/CAM systems taking the design and creating the instructions for the machines.
Right.
Then ERP Enterprise Resource Planning and MES Manufacturing Execution Systems. That's for scheduling jobs, managing materials, tracking progress in real time.
So managers know exactly what's happening where.
Exactly. And the Industrial Internet of Things, IoT, connects the machines, pulling live data off them. How fast are they running? Are there any issues? How much energy are they using?
I saw AI and machine learning mentioned too. Is that actually happening?
It's starting to. Being used for optimizing the processes, predicting when maintenance is needed before machine breaks down, analyzing quality data, even helping refine designs.
And for the buyer, for you listening, there's the connection piece.
Yes, B2B integration. Using things like EDI electronic data interchange or APIs, which are application programming interfaces, basically ways for your ordering system to talk directly to the fabricator's production system. Seamless data flow.
Sounds incredibly advanced. But I thought the UK was lagging a bit in adopting robots generally. Is that still true here?
That's a really important point. Historically, yes, the UK has been behind some global competitors like Germany in terms of industrial robot density. We were below the world average for a while.
So playing catch up.
A bit, yeah. But, and this is key, recent reports like those from Make UK show a definite acceleration, a real shift in investment intent.
People are planning to spend more.
Significantly more. Mm. Over 3/4 of manufacturers are saying they plan to increase spending on automation. And many are specifically looking at digital tech, AI, machine learning. There's a clear recognition that they need to do this now.
Is everyone jumping in equally, though? Or is it uneven?
It's definitely uneven. There's quite a clear split emerging. Larger companies, especially in sectors like automotive or aerospace, where automation is almost expected, they're adopting faster.
Right.
But many smaller businesses, the SMEs, are finding it harder. They're lagging behind. The sources point to about half of manufacturers only automating between 25 and 50% of their processes.
And why is that? What's holding the SMEs back? Is it just cost?
Cost is a massive factor, probably the biggest single barrier mentioned repeatedly. A fully automated production line, you could be looking at 400,000 pounds or more, plus the cost of actually integrating it, getting it working. Integration services aren't cheap, maybe 80 pounds to 160 pounds an hour.
Ouch. That's a huge capital outlay for a smaller firm.
It really is. And then there's the sheer complexity trying to integrate shiny new automated kit with maybe older machines or legacy IT systems. It's not always plug and play.
Right, making it all talk to each other.
Exactly. And that skills gap we talked about, it bites here too. It's not just about having people to operate the button. You need engineers, technicians who can install, program, maintain, troubleshoot this sophisticated stuff.
So you might afford the machine, but can you keep it running effectively?
That's the challenge. Then you can get cultural resistance inside a company. People worrying about their jobs changing or just general inertia. You know, we've always done it this way.
The human factor.
Always. And sometimes, especially in smaller firms, maybe just a lack of awareness or understanding of what automation can really do for them, what the ROI actually looks like, how they could perhaps phase it in rather than doing one big bang investment. Add in economic uncertainty, making people hesitant about big spending.
So it's a mix of money, complexity, skills, culture, and maybe confidence.
Pretty much. They're all tangled together. It makes overcoming these barriers quite tricky. It needs a multifaceted approach, not just throwing money at it.
Okay, let's flip the coin then. When companies do manage to implement this automation successfully, what happens? What are the real tangible benefits? How does it change things on the ground?
Well, the first big impact, and maybe the most crucial for many buyers, is on quality. Consistency, precision.
Because the robot does it the same way every single time.
Exactly. It removes that human variability, so you get incredible repeatability. You can achieve much tighter tolerances, which is critical in so many applications.
And fewer things going wrong.
Dramatically fewer defects, less scrap material, less need for a costly rework. This directly slashes that cost of poor quality, which can be a huge drain.
To better quality, consistently.
Consistently. The data suggests you can boost quality consistency by maybe up to 40%, cut defects by 30%. Just reliable, identical parts, batch after batch.
Okay, quality is number one. What about just making more stuff faster? Capacity. Mm-hmm. Speed.
Huge difference there, too. Automated machines are just inherently faster at many tasks. But the real kicker is the ability to run continuously, 24/7.
Like the Dutton Engineering example, working around the clock.
Precisely that model. It maximizes the use you get out of that expensive equipment, dramatically boosts your throughput, your overall capacity, your scalability.
And flexibility.
Yeah.
Can it cope with chopping and changing jobs?
Yes, that's another big plus. modern automation often allows for quite rapid changeovers between different products. So fabricators can handle a wider mix of parts, smaller batch sizes, varying volumes more efficiently. It supports that trend towards more
customization. Yeah.
And that speed and flexibility also builds resilience into the supply chain. They can react faster if your demand suddenly changes or if there's a disruption somewhere else.
Okay, quality up, speed up, flexibility up. What about the cost equation? We know the investment is high.
Yes, that upfront cost is significant, no doubt. But the key is the long-term operational savings. You have lower direct labor costs per part produced. You get significant energy savings, especially with things like fiber lasers compared to the old CO2 ones. Better material utilization means less waste. And as we said, those reduced costs from poor quality, less scrap, less rework.
So the initial pain is offset over time.
That's the idea. The return on investment, the ROI, can actually be quite compelling. Sources suggest often within 1 to 3 years. Now, for you as the buyer, does this automatically mean a much lower price per part?
I suspect not always.
Not always, no. The fabricator has to recoup that big investment after all. But what you are absolutely getting is significantly enhanced value.
Okay, define enhanced value here.
It's the whole package. It's superior quality you can rely on. It's consistency from one batch to the next. It's greater reliability from your supplier. It's faster, more predictable lead times. It's the ability to get customized parts without breaking the bank.
So it shifts the conversation from just the unit price to the total benefit.
Exactly. It's about the overall value delivered across the whole relationship, not just the invoice for this batch of parts.
That enhanced value must be especially critical in certain industries, right? Where the stakes are really high, like food processing or pharmaceuticals.
Absolutely. Take food processing buyers. For them, automation is rapidly becoming essential, primarily for hygiene and food safety. Think about stainless steel equipment.
It needs to be super cleanable.
Precisely. Automated fabrication, particularly things like robotic welding, can create incredibly smooth, crevice-free surfaces. Much easier to clean thoroughly, prevents bacteria building up. It's vital for meeting tough standards like EHADG or 3A.
So it directly impacts food safety.
Directly. And automation also helps with traceability.
Yeah.
The integrated systems capture data automatically, which is increasingly needed for regulations like the U.S. Food Safety Modernization Act, FSMA 204 on tracking food products. So it's compliance. It's risk reduction.
And pharma. Even stricter, I imagine.
If anything, yes. The demand's there for absolute precision, rock-solid consistency, and full compliance with good manufacturing practices, GMP, are non-negotiable. Automated fabrication delivers the incredibly tight tolerances they need for critical processing equipment.
And the paperwork. Audit trails.
The integrated data systems handle that. They capture all the necessary documentation automatically for process validation, for audits. Here, it's less about pure efficiency and much more about guaranteed compliance and avoiding potentially catastrophic risks.
Okay. What about a completely different world, like retail? Fixtures, displays, fast-moving stuff.
Yeah, for retail buyers, automation brings essential agility and speed. They need to roll out new store concepts, update displays quickly, react to trends.
Get things into stores fast.
Exactly. Combining smart design software with automated cutting and bending allows for rapid prototyping and really accelerates that speed to market. They can go from concept to rollout much quicker.
And consistency across maybe hundreds of stores.
Automation guarantees that. Repeatable quality ensures the brand looks the same everywhere, and it makes producing those customized displays in volume much more cost-effective. It helps them keep pace.
Okay, so pulling all this together, the changing landscape, the tech, the impacts, the sector-specific needs, what does it mean for you, the listener, when you're actually trying to source sheet metal fabrication strategically now? How should you approach it?
I think the biggest takeaway is you absolutely have to look beyond just the quote. The price per part is only one piece of the puzzle.
You need to dig deeper into the supplier's capability.
Definitely. You need to evaluate their automation maturity. And that's not just asking, do you have a laser? It's understanding how well integrated are their systems. How does data flow? What's their real capacity, not just their claimed capacity?
And quality systems.
Crucial. Are they ISO 9001 certified? What are their inspection processes? Can they show you performance metrics? How do they manage quality day to day?
And for those regulated sectors, food, pharma.
You have to verify their specific expertise and track record. Ask them. Have you been audited successfully by other companies in our field? Check their reliability, their financial stability too. You need a partner who'll be there for the long haul.
And you mentioned collaboration earlier. How important is that?
Hugely important. Look for suppliers who are willing to collaborate, not just take an order. Engaging them early in your design process is key.
Applying design for manufacturing, DFM.
Exactly, but doing it together. Working with the fabricator to simplify your designs, maybe standardize features, make sure the part is actually optimized for their automated processes. Things like, can their robot grippers actually handle that bend you design?
Right. Designing for automation, not just automating any old design.
You got it. Automating a poorly designed part. You just get a poorly designed part faster. Automating a part optimized for the process unlocks way more benefit, faster, cheaper, better quality.
So work with them up front. Don't just throw the design over the wall.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that collaborative spirit extends to supply chain integration. With automation making things faster and generating more data, those old ways of communicating, phone calls, emails, just can't keep up efficiently.
You need digital connections.
You do. Tools like EDI, supplier portals, APIs, they allow that seamless real-time data exchange we talked about.
Giving you visibility. Tracking orders, seeing their production status.
Exactly. Much better supply chain visibility, fewer errors from manual data entry, more resilience because you can react faster. When you're evaluating suppliers, definitely ask about their digital integration capabilities and how willing they are to connect their systems with yours.
What about sustainability? Is that becoming part of the evaluation now too?
Increasingly so, yes. Buyers are looking for suppliers with good environmental credentials. Do they have an environmental management system like ISO 14001? Can they provide environmental product declarations, EPDs, showing the footprint of their products?
Are they using energy efficient tech like those fiber lasers?
Exactly. Using renewables, minimizing waste. Do they have strong recycling programs? Steel and aluminium are highly recyclable, and the UK actually has pretty good recovery rates, so responsible handling matters. Building sustainability into your supplier scorecard is becoming standard practice for many.
Okay, so this all brings us back to that classic sourcing dilemma. Sourcing locally in the UK versus going offshore, maybe somewhere with lower headline labor costs.
Uh-huh.
How does automation affect that calculation? You mentioned total cost of ownership.
Right, TCO. Offshore might look cheaper on the initial, quote, the unit price.
Often does.
Often does. But TCO forces you to consider all the costs, not just buying the part, but acquisition, usage, end of life, and all those hidden costs.
Like what specifically?
Longer lead times, meaning you have to hold more inventory. Higher shipping costs and complexity. Potential quality issues needing rework, returns, or causing disruption at your end. Communication barriers. Time zone differences. And the big one lately, supply chain risk. What happens if there's another global disruption?
Those hidden costs can really add up, can't they? I've seen figures suggesting they can add 15%, 25%, even more to that initial quoted price.
Easily. And this is where automated UK fabricators can really shine. Their enhanced quality reduces your quality costs. Their speed and reliability mean shorter lead times, less inventory for you. Proximity means easier communication, faster problem solving, lower transport costs, and much lower geopolitical risk.
So when you factor all that into the ego, total cost of ownership.
The overall TCO for sourcing from a highly automated, capable UK supplier can often be lower, or at least very competitive, compared to the apparently cheaper offshore option. Automation strengthens the argument for domestic sourcing based on total value, not just the initial price.
So this whole deep dive really paints a picture of automation as, well, not just tinkering around the edges of UK sheet metal fabrication. It's a fundamental shift.
It really is. Driven by challenges like cost and labor, but enabled by rapidly advancing technology, it's transforming capabilities.
And for you, the buyer, understanding this shift is crucial. It means evaluating suppliers differently, looking at their automation maturity, their integration, their quality focus, their sector know-how, their collaborative approach, their sustainability.
And always thinking about that total cost of ownership. It's moving beyond just buying components to building strategic partnerships that deliver quality, speed, resilience, and overall better value.
Which leads to a final thought, really. As this automation continues to accelerate, and as UK fabricators leverage it to boost quality, speed, and value, what does that mean for global manufacturing patterns?
Could we see a significant reshaping, a move back towards more localized or regionalized supply chains where the UK becomes increasingly competitive, not just on niche capabilities, but on overall value for complex engineered parts? It certainly raises an interesting question for the future.
Thanks for tuning into The Fabricator's Edge. For more insights and to see what we're building, visit us at dutton-eng.co.uk. Until next time, keep it precise.